Mike, thanks very much. I've covered the biofuel industry, both first generation and second generation, going all the way back to 2006. So what I want to do is just frame some of the issues here from the perspective of investors and the capital markets. So there are two aspects to the RFS which make it fundamentally different from what many people are familiar with at the state level, which is called renewable portfolio standard. So there is no renewable portfolio standard federally, but 29 states have a policy along these lines that requires electric utilities to have a specified portion of their electric power coming from renewable sources. So how is the RFS different? Well, for one thing, the RFS has an arbitrary and artificial deadline, and that's 2022. Beyond 2022, the RFS officially sunsets, unless extended proactively by Congress. In 2007, there was 15 years to go. Even that was not a particularly long period of time. But now there's only 9 years to go until 2022. And it's not a matter of, you know, which party is in power, but simply the fact that until and unless Congress actually votes to change this, the fact of the matter is banks have to assume that the RFS will come to an end in 2022. They cannot afford to say hypothetically, well, we'll simply gamble that it will eventually be extended. And because many of these projects are 20-year projects that require financing not over the next, you know, 5 years or 6 years or 9 years, but 20 years plus, this 9-year cliff that faces the industry in 2022 is distinctly unhelpful from the perspective of particularly the debt markets, but also the equity markets. And again, this is very different from the way the RPS policies at the state level are structured. None of those RPS policies have this arbitrary deadline. You know, they have certainly targets by 2020 or 2030, but none of them say you have to reach a certain amount of renewable power in 2020, and then it can go to zero in 2021. That's no one has done it that way. So that's one aspect of the RFS that the industry, you know, just fundamentally finds less than helpful. The other element, which the previous two speakers alluded to, is the fact that from year to year, these targets are not set in stone. They are, in fact, at the unilateral discretion of the EPA. And it's not just a hypothetical concept. The fact of the matter is the EPA sets these targets at the beginning of each year. Over the past several years, the tendency has been for the targets to increase. But then in 2014, as you heard the other folks mention, the targets are in fact coming down on a year-over-year basis, which is a first for the EPA. So why is this a problem? Well, because if there is a mandate, and the mandate is effectively set aside by the EPA on this, again, essentially unilateral basis, well, it's not much of a mandate. And again, I would draw a distinction between the state-level renewable power policies and the RFS. To my knowledge, none of the states have made these arbitrary one-year adjustments to say, well, the industry is behind on developing solar power or wind power, so we'll just give them a little bit extra time to grow. Now, the companies are obligated to reach certain targets, and if they do not reach those targets, then they have to move more quickly to reach those targets. They don't get a pass, they don't get a mulligan, which is effectively what the EPA is, you know, handing the fuel industry, the oil companies. So, again, it's, you know, whether this is ideal from the standpoint of the oil companies, obviously, is for them to decide. But what I can tell you is from the standpoint of the way the investors think about the stability and credibility of the nation's biofuel policy, both of these aspects of the RFS are certainly not ideal and not helpful at all.